Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And returning, our friend Nick.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Tired. Comic-Con.
Yeah, we just got done with Comic-Con.
Exhausting.
Which was fun. Networked the show out.
Yeah.
So if we have any new listeners to this episode, welcome.
And if
appreciate
we saw you at Comic-Con, get a hold of Joey and...
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a couple of I got, I will get a hold of and a couple I got contacts for, so... I'll work that in it. If you're listening and we promise to contact you, I'll contact you. You will not be on this year. I already have the rest of this year pretty much planned.
Which don't let that, you know, hold you back.
Yes, exactly.
This year's only 4 more months.
Yeah, I can, but
right,
I can
need 3 more months.
It's,
holy shit.
Yeah, it's almost over.
What the fuck, dude?
but I can, we can definitely work something out. We can get the schedule figured out. And yes, please just.
We haven't forgotten about you.
Of course not.
Actually, when the hell is this episode even going to go out? So,
in like 3 weeks.
Oh, okay, we're fine. We're good.
Yeah, Nick, how you been? It's been a while since you've been on here.
Yeah, it has been quite a while. Yeah. I think I had a trip in between last time.
Yep.
We,
and you were sick for the first time, like when we were originally supposed to record this.
Yeah.
So it got pushed back.
Yeah.
It was, which is fine. Totally, it actually works out better because this is going to be coming out closer to October. So this is kind of sort of the Halloween episode,
because
it's very horror-ish anyway.
Right,
so
it's fitting.
It works. I'm not going to have a follow-up, though, because that's not how the schedule is. Who thought I have to live up to a schedule? It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to have to quit your job so you can podcast, you know, 24/7.
Oh, that would be nice.
If it pays me, sure. Maybe in like a couple years.
All you sponsors that are listening out there.
Before we actually get into it, we're reading Lock and Key Head Games today.
I guess we should probably cover what we're doing.
We're getting there. but before we get into covering the book, I want to give a quick shout out to World's Finest True Believers. I guest hosted on that show. It actually, the episode that we covered is the first Lock and Key, and it should be out now. I'm pretty sure it came out about a week or two before this episode hit. So please go check out Chris over at World's Finest True Believers on Twitter at Finest Believers. And the podcast is great. It's basically this, but in a longer form, and Chris does a lot more homework than I will ever do.
We're slackers.
So, but yeah, it's a wonderful podcast. I can't recommend it enough. I know he's already covered, like Batman Long Halloween. He just covered Superman All-Stars, or I'm sorry, All-Star Superman. He did Identity Crisis earlier. Like he's.
I've never heard of any of these.
I think you've heard at least one.
Nope.
Okay.
Not like legit, other than Lock and Key that you were talking about, obviously.
See, told you. but yeah,
no, that's a good thing. See, I haven't heard about them, so then I don't have to read them. I can just listen to them.
Well, you'll read them eventually.
God damn it!
You'll read Long Halloween before you read the rest of them.
Okay, well,
because we're getting close to that one.
I like Halloween, so that works for me.
But yeah, so yes, please go check out Chris. He's fun to talk to. Fun to. To listen. So let's go ahead and get into what we're covering today. Like I said, it's Lock and Key Head Games, issues 1-6. It was published by IDW in 2009. The writer is Joe Hill. The artist is Gabriel Rodriguez. Letters were done by Robbie Robbins and colors by Jay Fotos. And if you'd like to listen to our first coverage of Lock and Key, Welcome to Key House. It is episode 64 through 69.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. So let's go ahead and get into this first issue here.
All right. Well, first off, what does your first page look like? Because ours are a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be.
Well, I mean...
No, just not the first page, but the pre-page page. Okay.
And this as well, actually.
Yeah, the masks. Yeah, the covers. Yeah.
Because, see, all I got was this picture of their mom sitting on the balcony there.
Okay. So, again, Nick and I both have the Master Key Edition, and Ron has got the regular trade or hardback edition. So, yeah,
so the cover art.
I guess I could be different. I'm going to grab my single issues.
Go ahead. We'll wait until you dig through all those comic books to find them.
Yeah,
all the boxes look the same now. Uh huh.
I think it is in that stack. No, wait.
Exactly. Anyway, so we don't.
Sorry, I'm renovating the basement here. So
we start off, and
this is before.
Yeah,
it's Joe Ridgway and his. I'm assuming this is his girlfriend at the time.
His girlfriend to be wife.
Yeah, exactly. Callie.
Callie. Yeah.
Calliope.
Ridgway.
But yeah, but basically we get this. He's sitting there talking about what his dissertation. And not actually paying attention to anything she's doing. And she is slowly stripping, which, I mean, as soon as I heard a zipper go down, I'd have probably been looking up. But I guess I'm not that into dissertations
that's
or
fair.
College or, you know, worrying about any of that stuff.
I do like the frame placement, because first one, she's taking off her skirt. Next one, she's getting ready to take off her panties. And then the bottom frame is Joe's head over her ass. So you don't see
anything sitting across the
floor. Austin Powers of them.
Yes, it's great.
But she says, look, she's like, I'm getting ready to jump in the river, and I'm going to stay at the bottom until you either come rescue me or drown, whichever one comes first.
Mm-hmm. And she jumps in. And he's like, Callie, I don't swim well.
Yeah, and he freaks out. And like, so he swims to the bottom, and then he wakes up, and it's, you know, now times, and he's very old.
I would say he's in his... late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah,
he looks very old.
Maybe not, because, I mean, he'd be around retirement age, right?
Yeah, but he says in here how he just can't retire.
Okay, so fair enough. So, yeah, probably 70s.
Yeah. And he's, you know, his wife, Callie, you know, passed away, I think, some years prior, like 5 years prior, something like that. It's been some time. Yeah, so he wakes up, he starts to get ready for his day, because he is a teacher at the high school. He's a drama teacher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's covering, like, Shakespeare and, like, stuff like that.
And so he is going about his day, and then he is, I think he's leaving, he's either entering the lounge, the faculty lounge, or I think he's entering it. It turns around, and he sees Tyler and Zach, and he asks, Luke? Which Tyler doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But Zach, he recognizes.
And even like...
Well, he turns his head when he hears his real name.
Yep.
Right. Which anyone does when they hear their name. It kind of caught him off guard, which was not good for him. Also, I kind of want to point out something interesting.
Yes, go ahead.
Earlier in the first bit when he's sitting down reading and she's stripping, he's talking about how ghosts arrive to push protagonists to act.
Ah! Gotcha.
And then you go to, like, current time, and he's teaching, it's like a thing up on the board. It says, memory, ghosts, inaction is a choice.
Oh, on the board behind him?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I see that.
So he's, like, kind of like talking about how, like,
well, he's also, the book by his bedside is
memory
the ghost code.
Or ghost
it's
code.
His book.
Yeah. Right.
He wrote
he's,
it.
He's very much
look
into...
At that.
Yes.
Oh, he, yeah. But he's very much, like... fascinated with ghosts and like also kind of like the idea of choice and inaction.
Well, and then he sees a ghost himself,
right? Which was
Luke,
like a very
Zach.
They have like a very heavy theme
yes.
already kind of being built on.
I also like how he's trying to figure out his name, where he's like dog, no digger, dizzy. Oh well, it's not that important.
Yeah, well, and then he sees the ghosts of Tyler. Of, I'm sorry, Rendell and Luke, along with Ellie and Grace. No, what's her name?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny that he says dog and digger because it's Luke.
Kim Topher.
And we remember in the
previous
thing, he was...
Dude!
Yeah,
I didn't even think of that.
Right. That's kind of like a really weird nod when he was like seeing the dog digging up the door.
The door. Well, that was...
right. It was just the Beau imagery. But it's always like
that.
Tied to Luke.
Yes. Yes. And then we get Joe looking on. He starts to
he's kind of like starting to like recall that this Zach looks a lot like a person he once knew, and he's trying to place the memory.
And a person that not only did he once know, but he
knew supposed
him
to be dead too.
Yeah. Well, and he knew him with, you know, the other Locke boy, which would have been the
Rendell.
Dad, I can't,
yep.
Yeah, Rendell.
And he also notices that. Oh, he finds out that Zach is Ellie's.
Well, he watches
nephew.
Right here.
Well, that
he watches him walk up to her in the at the field right here. He's watching through the faculty window. Sees him walk up to her.
Well, even before that, it finds out from, I guess, another teacher that he transferred in 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah,
from,
that's right.
A school in Texas, and that he is Ellie Whedon's nephew. And so, yeah, he's putting pieces together, obviously. We go over to Zach back at the Whedon residence, and the book he's reading is On Evil, which, okay,
on
can
the
be
nose.
a little bit more on the nose there. But he is trying to do either some magic or, I guess he does say that magic is easier in the Wild House because that's where all the magical properties are. But the farther he gets away, the harder it gets. Because he is reading this book and he's floating above the bed as Ellie comes walking in. And then he yells at her to stop.
Because she keeps calling him Luke.
Yeah, he yells at her for that.
That's what she's used to, you know, that's who he is to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, you need to stop calling me that. Ugly girls can't afford to be stupid.
Such a
dick. He's very abusive
to
Ellie.
Well, and with good reason.
Right. Well,
which we'll find out in the future, but with good reason.
Yeah.
We are introduced to Ellie's son.
Rufus?
Yes.
I think that's it.
Yep. Yeah. He is Down syndrome or just
autistic.
He's definitely autistic.
Yeah.
At the very least, yes.
Okay.
I thought he was just autistic, like further along.
Okay.
Well, they give him a very like odd face. It's almost like they were trying to give him what's that particular mental disorder or problem?
Down syndrome is where you're missing a chromosome. You're talking about the one where you have the
Down
extra?
Syndrome, because like his face is very odd looking. It's
yes.
Like they're trying to like say like, well, hey, like it's.
I want to be like, he has a problem, but it's not a problem kind
right.
of thing. But he has
no,
something
but,
different about him.
Yeah, but regardless, you know, Zach here is you know, talking to her, and she says, you know, will you lower your voice? My son is in the other room. And she's like, it doesn't matter. He's an idiot. You know, he has no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, because
right.
Zach's talking about how Joe Ridgway recognized him.
Yeah.
And now he has to take care of it.
Yeah. And she's like, you have no idea what he understands or doesn't understand.
Oh, you're referring to Rufus. Yeah.
It's a very typical antagonist type situation where they're super arrogant and disregard small characters, which is always a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And then I like this one because he closes the door between the living room and the kitchen where they're at. And then Rufus, who has a very, he's obsessed with like military type of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, "No transmission, sir. We have reason to believe that the signal from HQ has been cut off. Copy that. I don't trust the new human. Maybe he's a replicant."
Yeah, he's holding a robot, a cyborg esque person, action figure, as well as an army action figure. I can't remember the names that he gave him off the top of my head right now. I know those are usually the two he has all the time.
Yeah,
those
right.
two he's always holding.
You constantly get to hear his thought process.
Yep, through that.
He always talks through those
objects. Yes, which I love that.
It's
right.
great, especially because if Luke Zach was actually paying attention to what he was saying, he'd know how much Rufus was picking up on.
Mm-hmm. But Luke is Zach is too much about his own endgame. Like, he wants his own, he got his own agenda.
Yeah, well, that, and, you know, he doesn't, you know, to him, Rufus is inferior to
yep.
him. He has,
he
well, everybody's inferior to him.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't see him as a threat.
Yes. So we go back to Joe, and he's just looking through the 1988 yearbook. He sees his, you know, deceased wife, but that's not what he was looking for. He looks to see the play that he put on with the core group.
Here we go. We've got the whole list of them.
Yeah.
Mark Cho, Lucas Caravaggio, which would be Luke, Ellie Whedon, Rendell Locke, Kim Topher, and Aaron Voss.
Mm-hmm. And then Joe as a director.
Yeah.
And we see, like, he's just looking on there trying to remember. And then we go to the next page, and this is such a beautiful splash page, man.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
You can tell, well, first off, I'd like to point out that at this point in time, Rendell is holding three keys. He's got the key in his hand that I can't actually tell what it is, but he's got the one in the crown, and then he's got the one on his wrist.
Is he wearing the crown?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't show him wearing the crown.
Look in the bottom corner.
It's not wearing the crown.
No, no, no.
Oh! It's actually different.
Yeah, we don't have it.
That's what I was trying to tell you. It's a different key.
No, no, no.
Oh,
we don't have it.
Oh!
Interesting.
Yours is.
It's still mine.
But the question is, okay, so why did they change it?
Yeah, that's...
That is a
There's
really got to
be a
question.
Reason why they changed it.
Because I specifically remember him wearing that crown. What about in the big picture? Is he wearing it in the big picture?
In mine, he is, yes.
What the hell?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Neither of them, they're wearing
interesting.
It.
Interesting, and nobody else has it.
And here's the funny thing. You can still see the shadows being manipulated
yes.
in the background.
Yes, so the crown's
somebody's
there.
Somebody's got it.
That must just be a misprint from... Now I want to look through my issue.
I know, right? I kind of want to like find out what happened.
We'll look after. Just remind me after,
yeah,
because.
But anyways, because see, that was what I was going to point out was that he had the shadow crown.
Yes,
on.
He does have. Because I just distinctly remember that because that's the first one I read.
Yeah,
is that
I know
that
this is the first
novel.
One I read too? Because you know.
Well, yeah, but, yeah,
but because I thought it was cool how he had that one. Then he had. I'm assuming the key that he's got in his other hand is the one that's changing him into the old man. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. I can't tell what key that is that he's got in his hand.
I can't tell
but then he's
as
got,
well.
He's also got the bracelet one.
That's the anywhere key.
No, is that the anywhere key?
He's using it to make.
Oh yeah,
because
of
the doorway in the background.
Yep.
Yeah, the waves in the background.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Okay, so he only has the two keys.
No, because he's still got the one on his wrist too.
That is the anywhere key.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, never mind then.
Sorry, we're getting really nerdy here.
I thought that he was using that inside the wristband, and then he had another key in his hand.
Gotcha. That's the anywhere key. Well, we even have Luke over there. Hey, he's got the Well, do we want name it right now?
Nah, we'll just wait.
Right.
He is jacked.
Yeah, he looks like a big, huge barbarian.
Yeah. So we have the shadows dancing everywhere. We have Kim Topher with wings flying around. So we're going to assume she has a key. We've got Mark being a monk
thief
something.
Yeah.
I know he has a key. I know what key it is. We're not introduced to it yet.
Yeah, we'll just wait on those ones. But anyways, all the players
you're trying to figure it out.
All the players are using keys to make their play.
This play was just the best.
That's what Joe is recalling is that it was the most amazing play he'd ever seen.
What did he say? It was
so wonderful.
It almost seemed less
like a real play and more like something I dreamt.
Yep. It was.
I still can't believe he doesn't have the crown on it in your guys' books, though.
That is amazing.
I know. That's really weird.
Like, remind me after we're done recording. I will look
up.
Your
pen?
Well, the other thing is they had to draw separate art assets for that part because
even for the whole picture.
That's interesting. IDW, you need the answer for this. We need to know.
Why take it out? Because these would be after. Would this be after that one?
Oh yeah, these came out after, way after.
Right. So then, why take it out?
Exactly.
Maybe it didn't fit
without
with...
taking out the shadows in the background.
Exactly.
Maybe it didn't fit with something later on in the story. I don't know for certain.
I don't think so.
Mm. Well,
because we don't find the crown until
book five,
book three,
three. I thought it was later on.
No, because book three is called Crown of Shadows.
Oh, yeah.
So we find it in book three.
Look, fucker, it's been a while, all right? Anyways. So we bounce back and it's him.
It's him having memories again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With fooling around with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's nice to know that, you know, even in their older years, they kept it frisky.
Oh, heck yeah.
Especially at school.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides that he shouldn't investigate. He should just leave it alone. But there's he's got a nagging feeling. So he kind of, I'm not going to say, gets into, well.
He starts digging a little bit into his actual
He breaks into the administration's office.
But does he actually
to get
break
his records.
In? He just walks
well, he
in.
He gets into the admissions office.
Yes.
Yeah.
To check where he came from.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so he gives the school in Texas a call.
Right.
And.
Calls for records.
Mm-hmm. Comes to find out.
He does not exist.
Never went there.
Which, I mean, bad job on, you know, covering your backstory there, dumbass.
But,
well, I don't think he expected... Everybody he knew that knew him was either would have forgotten or is dead.
No, but he should have forgotten. He didn't have any transcripts. Like, he should have at least faked the transcripts because any school that's going to look it up is going to have to call back for them.
Well, the problem with that might be, like, he just doesn't really think that way, maybe, or like he.
Well, he's also coming from a 1980s mindset. He's from a mindset. Different
era. It, yeah. That's very much driven home many times where he's oh, like, God, hey, yeah. What's a cell phone?
It couldn't mm-hmm. actually be a 1980s mindset because it would have been a 1990s mindset.
1988. Because this is the senior year.
How did that happen then? Because Calliope was born in 1970. Oh, never mind. Director of Administrations. Never mind. We're good.
You good?
We're good. Yep. Okay. I was reading something and thought it was something else.
You do see, though, that while he's looking up stuff, Zach peeks in yep. and actually is paying attention to what he's doing. Like he's on to is Joe.
Yep.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Yep. So Zach has to do the only thing he can think of is. Go take care of.
He's literally gonna kill everybody that's gonna spoil his plans because he is that kind of douchebag.
He is a giant douchebag. He comes back home and is basically telling Ellie that Joe knows too much. We have to get rid of him. And Ellie's like, Rufus is listening. Stop it.
And he's like, so what? He doesn't know what I'm talking about. I doubt. And then he goes into his military.
I love Rufus's talk here.
We have a major disturbance at the front gates. Have you ever seen anything like that? No, never. Put it in the report. That's a 10-4, sir.
And what he's referring to is Zach coming through the door.
Which
He went through the door at school with the anywhere key and came out back in the kitchen at Ellie's place. So he could still see the school. Yeah. He then uses the anywhere key again to go to the police station and get some guns from the evidence room.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting.
Wouldn't that also be kind of like risky because then the gun would all like already be filed as evidence?
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So, and we'll get to that here in the next issue.
But I'd also like to point out while we're here with Rufus, Rufus is hardcore gathering intel on Zach.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and you know, Zach is completely ignoring him because it's
it's the inferiority.
Yeah. He doesn't. And it's great. Yeah. Like I love it so much. Like.
So we go back to Joe. He is. Back at home, just getting ready for bed because it's 7:30. Sorry, it's me.
It's 7:25. <I'm
off. laughs> So he's getting ready for bed. Zach comes walking in using the anywhere key and he's holding a gun. And Joe is, taking a bath. Zach decides that instead of shooting him, because he doesn't want to leave blood, but he knows he has to take care of Joe. So he decides to have Joe overdose, and he's holding a gun to Joe's head, telling him this. And Joe is like, you're Zach, or he remembers him being Zach. And Joe or Luke's just like, Zach, wait, hold on, I'm getting myself confused. Fuck, he remembers him being Luke. There we go.
Yes.
Zach is just like, look, it's nothing personal. I really, really liked you back in the day, but I can't have you exposing me.
Right.
And so, before Zach can do anything else, Joe smashes his coffee cup.
And I love this part right here. A hit. A very palpable. He was trying to, quote, what is that, Shakespeare?
I think so.
And, yeah. Such a nerd. Like, all the way to the end.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
And that's beautiful because he loved it that much, that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what ends up happening is as soon as Joe hits Zach, Zach pulls the trigger and shoots him through the chest. And so he dies. He dies because, one, he's old. He won't be able to survive that anyway. Plus, it's also a chest wound.
Well, he's bleeding out into the tub. Yeah. So not only would he either drown or, bleed out quicker because it's warm water exactly. to make it.
But yeah, as he's dipping back in the tub, we end the issue with him
back at the bottom back of in the river.
Yep.
With his,
girlfriend, wife.
Girlfriend at the time, but would have been his wife. And...
Yeah. And it's beautiful imagery. Like, I love it. Sad to see that character go. We only have him one issue, but I really liked him.
But right. at the same they time, did a I good really... job of endearing you to the character yes. very quickly.
Yeah, and I really like how they gave him the happy ending, even though it
exactly
wasn't a happy ending,
right.
Like.
Yeah, and that's how we end this first issue.
That was the end of the prologue,
which is still the first issue.
Right.
But yeah. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown. Or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Lock and Key story.